Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Started off by asking what it meant to join Corey Enright, who we did speak to pre-match. You can catch that at krockfootball.com.au. Ian Nankervis, Jimmy Bartel and Sam Newman as a 300-game player.
It makes it feel pretty special, to be honest. It obviously had played big parts with two of them, Jimmy and Boris, that you know, were great teammates for so long and played, you know, unbelievable football through that period. So I wasn't old enough or born yet to see enough of what Sam and Ian had done, but their names are still, you know, especially Bobby Gartland, lets us know exactly how special those guys were to the football club. So I understand that it's really special for football club and just proud that I've been able to do it.
We speak on Wednesday. Have you heard from any of the other 300 gamers? Obviously, Boris, you see on a semi-regular basis around the club when COVID allows you to and on match day. But Jimmy, Ian and Sam, have you heard from yet?
No, I haven't. Not as of yet, but I'm sure I will. I've got an interview to do with Jimmy tomorrow night, so I'll definitely speak to him beforehand. But it's, I'm sure, through these periods you hear from a number of people. Like, mate, even the guys that I've played one game, or not even a game with, but have been listed, it's unbelievable to hear from them and the impact that, even if it's a small impact that I've had on them over the journey.
Who's the most random you've heard from? Who's a name that we might not have heard for a while that you've gone, gee, I haven't heard from you in ages, but I'm wrapped you got in touch?
I had a funny one last night. I had Billy Smets, the famous Billy Smets. And Billy was a bloody good player. And we decided one off-season that we would just go and have a few drinks on a Thursday night. But usually after a bit of a drinking session at the Cremorne, I would back it up with a run in the morning. So I said, Bill, I'll meet you Friday morning for a run. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. And as I was leaving, he said to me, make sure you call me for that run in the morning. So 8:30 in the morning, got up, called him, made sure that he'd met me down at Landy Field, and he never showed up for another run after that. It was just a little short fartlek run, but it was one that I put on a brave face for, and I know that he was absolutely really hurting.
When you get to 300 games, what do you reflect on? Is there something that you take time out to look back on over your career? Do you think about game number one and how excited you were to pull on the hoops and play for the club you barracked for as a child? Or do you look at the premierships? What sort of sits in the front of the mind as you look to 300?
Well, I had a nice moment last night just speaking with Britt and Scott and Morgan. So Britt and I are bunking in with Scott and Morgan at the moment whilst we're building. So they just asked me a number of questions that probably I haven't been asked before. You know, what games do I remember? Scoot remembers my first game as well as I do, and probably yourself too, Kingy. It was a 8-possession bad game, and ever since then, Kenny Hinckley locked me out of his forward line. So whether he has read that or has he been told that during the week, I was pretty impressed that he knew that. But they also asked me, you know, what were the games that stood out for me?
Is it fair to say you're a bit of a footy nuffy, that you love football and are consumed by it in season? And I'm guessing, like, if I could say to you who your milestone games are against, you would know, and you'd probably know the games that you've had the most possessions in and games you might have kicked a number of goals in. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I am. I wish I remember my schoolwork like I did my football lifespan, but I do. I know stats, not so much stats, but I know the good times with teammates, you know, the parts in games that were really important for the footy club that stand out. So, yeah, I live and breathe it, whether it's because I have a Saturday night when I come home, I stare at the roof and think about it for 4 hours, that it sinks in so deep. But it is something that I just love dearly.
You're obviously renowned for the courage you've shown on the field, and that's been obviously reflected in the number of Bob Rose Awards you've won through the AFL-PA as most courageous player. But have you ever looked back at footage of yourself going into a contest, going back with the fly to the footy and gone, gee, did I really do that? And is that really smart?
Yeah, I have. I think that I'm, as I've matured as a footballer, hopefully I've made some better decisions. But then there's some times where I've obviously gone and I've made a decision to go that I probably shouldn't have too. So as I'm getting older, you know, even now I think about, when I'm going back with the flight, am I going to give away a free kick? Because they're getting called more than ever right now that guy going back, if he hasn't got his eyes for the ball the whole way, I don't want the other side to get easy. So I'm backing in Mark Blitzarves to get a spoil away, or, you know, Jack Henry to make sure he punches it over the line.
You get to play game 300 on the night Gary Ablett gets to play game 350. You got to play in two premierships with him. But what has it meant to be able to play the last 2.5 years with him and have him come back to the club when you thought that as he departed at the end of 2010 that you'd be going head-to-head in respective midfields of the Suns and the Cats? And ironically, you're playing the Suns on Saturday.
The romance in it is so special. I think that he is coming up against the Suns. The romance is nice that he's doing it for the Cats. But all along, too, it was Gary was going to come here to help us out. And he's still got that ability that he's doing that. He's still playing some good footy. He's in some really good touch. He's got hunger, which is really important. And he's one of the best to ever do it. And, you know, he can walk the corridors, and it's pretty tough at the moment because the guys aren't seeing enough of each other just with the restrictions and regulations. But, you know, I want our kids hanging around Gary Ablett. I want them finding out stuff. We've seen footage of him working with Nathan Kruger and a number of others on the Cats Instagram or, you know, social media sites. This is regular stuff that happens if he gets the time. So the one thing that I must say, and we've always had it, and we're lucky that it's sort of been passed down the journey, but the guys that have left the Cats have always wanted the Cats to be in a better place when they've left it. So we're just the same. We want to, you know, when we're been and done, we want to come back and make sure we're watching the Cats win.
Say you're a fuel gauge right now, Joel Selwood. Where is the fuel gauge in your career?
Well, I'm feeling good. I think I've just put about $60 in, to be honest. And, you know, I'm obviously, I think that I can still get better around this group. We just need to play a bit more together. We need to, hopefully we can start training a little bit and get this formation and, you know, connection, gelling together at the right time of the year. And then, yeah, I still think that I've got a lot of feeling better in my body this year than what I was last year. You know, there was times last year where I reckon Britt had even got the Thursday night and she probably thought when I was limping to the toilet in the middle of the night, how's he going to do that this weekend? But I'm not doing that at the moment, so I'm feeling better than what I was.
You're 32 now. Do you leave it open to when it finishes? You, as you said, you're feeling good now, so you just roll with it and you talk to the Cats at the end of each year once, you know, the next contract finishes, which I think is the end of 2021, if I'm not mistaken, and then you just work from there.
Yeah, you do. And open and honest, like, my contracts have never been complicated, Kingy. I think, to be honest, they could probably be wrapped up in a week. Most of the time, you just have to pass it to too many hands along the way. That's why it probably takes so long. So it's pretty simple from here. It's if I'm going well enough and I'm still needed, then I'm happy to play along. But yeah, there'll be a time where I'm not needed anymore. So, and I'm okay with that.
Yep. What will you do post footy?
Oh, I love the game. I love the development. I love right down to the juniors, to be honest. Like, even I've been a part of the Auskick programs for a long time. You know, every part of footy, I think I could play a role in, but I'm just not sure where that will start. And
will you captain the Cats till the end?
Not sure. Yeah, well, I don't know when the end is. So I don't think that I need to. I think that we've got leaders around that will be able to do it, and maybe that at the right time, I'll be able to hand it over to one of the boys. But right now, I'm happy to take the load off the boys and just allow them to play footy. I think that I'm helping them by doing that too.
As we know, nothing lasts forever. And there's a young man you're going to come up against on Saturday afternoon called Matt Rowell, who, when you debuted, was 5 years old. And he's the talk of the football world right now. In a year that's been so tough, we need these feel-good stories. And I reckon you're more than anybody, and we know you've been on social media reflecting on, I think, his round two performance against the West Coast Eagles. Are you excited about the prospect of playing on somebody that's potentially going to be the dominant player in the competition for a decade?
Yeah, I am. I am excited. I'm appreciative of, you know, what the kid's been able to do so young, so early. And he's put it back to back. Like, I wrote it, you know, his first game that was probably his coming out game, which was his second game. But, you know, he's backed it up and backed it up. So there's a part of me that just goes, respect that he's young and that he's the up and comer, but we're going to, you know, really put it to him this weekend and treat him, you know, we're going to treat the Suns like they're a 3-1 side, not the Gold Coast Suns of yesteryear, where it was probably, we'd look at it and go, geez, this might be a bit easier this week. Like, yeah. They are seriously good, and he's the leader of it.
Well, Joel, I promise we'd, before we spoke, that we'd get through the interview without mentioning that you dropped a naughty word. Oh, hang on. No, I've mentioned it.
Oh, there
you go. After your second game on, and you come on K-Rock Footy, and you were pretty up and about, and probably just slightly forgot where you were for a moment.
Yeah, I did. It was a pretty special moment. The team with Kev Dickerson, he's put me on K-Rock to look after me, and you guys were going to, you know, Benny was going to ask me some simple questions, and but then I just thought I'd take it over, and I thought I'd have to, you know, take it my own path. So thanks for bringing that back up, Kingy. I've gone 14 years, and I think I've heard it every year since.
Joel, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock Football, and we wish you the very best of luck against the Gold Coast Suns in Game 300.
Thanks, Kingy. I look forward to joining you after the game, and the Cats having a win.
Him to that as well, Joel Selwood, and what a great insight, of course, and he was certainly very forthright and honest with his time there, and wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall of that Scooter Morgan and Brit chat, just sitting around the kitchen table having a chat about what has been a marvellous AFL career, thanks to Prestige Jayco, the pre-match interview with the 300 gamer in Joel Selwood.
Prestige Jayco, pre-game interview.